You're now listening to the Engage the Rockies podcast, your go-to podcast for local and state issues concerning Colorado.
Hello, Colorado. This is the Engage the Rockies podcast. I am your host, Jarvis Caldwell, Executive Director of Engage the Rockies. Today, we have a very special guest and a very special episode for you. And the topic that we're going to cover today is Colorado's fentanyl crisis. And there's no other, there's nothing else to call it but a crisis. And so there's a new documentary out, if you're unaware of it. It's called Devastated, Colorado's Fentanyl Disaster. And so we have the director of the film on here, Mr. Stephen Tubbs. Stephen has been a voice on our Colorado and others' airwaves for the last 34 years. His most recent time as a radio host was for Denver, Colorado's News Talk 710 KNUS. He's the author of two books. In 2006, Stephen founded Mountain Time Media, where he has directed 10 films, 7 full-length documentaries. And one of those documentaries, his most recent that just came out a couple weeks ago, Devastated, is what we have him today to talk to us about. So, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Jarvis, man, it's different to be on this side of things. That's usually right. I'm coming to you in my old career. Congratulations on the program, and thank you for what you do. You are one of the biggest patriots I know. And you know, when you asked me to join you to talk about this true epidemic, this disaster in Colorado, I certainly couldn't say no to my brother, and I appreciate the time.
I appreciate the kind words. So I have to get something off my chest before we get started into questions. And if for our listeners, if you only make it this far into the program, I want you to hear this. I watched Stephen's documentary Devastated last week. I believe it was this weekend. And listen, I don't get too emotional that often. I don't cut onions, but once every few years. And I'm telling you right now, I couldn't hold it back. It was so powerful and impactful. And I watched it again today in preparation for this interview for a second time. And I'm telling you right now, I'm kind of tearing up just talking to you right now and saying this. It hit me just as hard the second time. This weekend, I'm gonna get my wife and my two boys. They're 9 and 10 right now, so they're a lot younger than the kids in this documentary that we're gonna talk about. But they you know, I'm very much like, hey, you need to know about this, and so you know, can look out for it, because guess what? You're only 10 years old now, but 14, 15, 16 is right around the corner. And so I want my kids to see this. And yeah. So I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, thank you for doing this. In my opinion, I watch a lot of documentaries, and it's, if you're a parent in Colorado, especially, it's the most important documentary you can watch right now. And so I just want to say
appreciate
that. Thank
that.
You.
Listen, I appreciate that. And, you know, as we record this, we're looking at hundreds of thousands of views from around the world. And I'm very, very proud of that. Look, I'm not getting paid per click. Why we did this film is very simple, Jarvis. We wanted to potentially save a Colorado family, or frankly, any family that can understand this film on this planet. We wanted to make sure that they had the information, and they were armed with this information to potentially avoid the trauma of the families that you've talked about. Look, I've seen this thing start to finish probably 150 times when, you know, we're putting this together.
Right.
And there is almost every time there's something in this film that gets to me, and I know what's coming. We're putting this together, but we did this. And the only reason we could do this was those Colorado families that decided they're going to let a stranger in. They're going to talk about their worst moments of their lives, probably times 50 that they could ever imagine losing a child. And they had the courage to talk with strangers simply in hopes of preventing another Colorado family from going through what they did. And to those individuals, I'm forever in their debt.
Absolutely. And yeah, that's where it really gets you, is when you see the mother and father in this documentary, and they're like, you know, my child came home. My child wasn't even a drug user, and they came home, and you know, their friend had given them like half a pill or something and said, "Oh, this is a Xanax," or, you know, this Percocet. Is whatever. Yeah. Percocet. And like, "Hey, you're having trouble sleeping. Just take half of this and then you'll sleep like a baby. And these kids, they come home, you know, a lot of times they're 15, 16, 17 years old, and their parents, you know, tell these stories about, you know, I saw them, I said, hey, honey, you know, hope you're doing okay. I'll see you in the morning. And, you know, the kid was taking the pill actually to help them sleep, because they were taking it and then going to bed, and then they just never woke up, and their parent found them the next morning, you know, in their bed, passed away. And it's terrifying, that how quickly, it hits kids, and just how easily it is to kill them. Cause you know, I was born in 88, right? So I was kind of growing up late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, people did drugs and things like that. But usually if you heard of an overdose or something, it was because they just, you know, just took way too much of something. You know, right. If it was a handful of pills of whatever it was, Percocet or Oxy or Xanax. And in this case,
or cocaine or whatever right. it is. But the difference there, yeah. brother, the difference yeah. there is, you know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. So I'm a little kid in elementary school and high school or junior high and high school with the whole, you know, just say no. Right. Well, the difference was if you said yes back then, the difference between then and now is, you know, the first time wasn't going to kill you. It wasn't right. good.
Right.
But we're talking about now one time try. This is Russian roulette with a full chamber. And it's unlike anything this country has ever seen. This is, whether you believe it or not, I know I'm pretty good authority. This mm-hmm. is the number one drug threat that the United States of America has faced in its history. And yeah. I'm unfortunately not able to say anything, but it is only getting worse. The mm-hmm. deaths may be, you know, fluctuate a few thousand a year, but are we supposed to be as a society, if in 1 year, 112,000 people die, the following year, it's only right. 108,000. Are we to celebrate? Let me tell you, we should not be. And I don't know anybody that is.
Right. Yeah. And you know, the weird thing about statistics is, you know, they could say, if you ever hear a politician say, well, you know, overdose deaths are down 5% this year, 10%. And it's like, yeah, but 5% from what? From an all-time high, you know, 5% from 100,000, that's still way too many deaths. You know, it's something that you reminded me of was, so when I worked at the Capitol, I worked for Representative Mike Lynch. And if you've already watched the documentary, then you know Representative Lynch, a big part of his platform while in office at the state capitol was around fentanyl. And something he said to me when I was working for him in 2023 was, he goes, I don't look at fentanyl as a drug. He was like, I look at it as a poison, because it's just like, if you think about like actual poison, you know, when you think of poison, when you watch an old, you know, movie about kings and queens and their poisoning, mm-hmm. it's like, sometimes it kills them, sometimes it doesn't, you know, but it's got a very, very, very good chance of killing somebody when they take it just one time. And that's like fentanyl. Cause so many of these deaths that we've seen is, it's just, it's a one time and that's it, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, there's no do-over.
One thing, and I know you know this mm-hmm. from seeing Devastated, is it's almost, you look at it as a pie, and there's a portion of the pie that absolutely the stories match what you just described. The one time, you know, the teenager thought she was taking a Xanax or a Percocet or an Adderall. There's another big part of the pie though here that we get into in the documentary, and there's really nobody that has put it more bluntly to me than the Denver City and County of Denver medical examiner, the coroner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he also outlines these people are oftentimes seeking out that high. Let me tell you mm-hmm. one of the craziest stories that I heard in putting Devastated together. We heard that, and this was on multiple occasions in multiple counties in Colorado, they would find, they being the authorities or the investigative bodies, they would find that if there was somebody that was poisoned to death, some would say overdosed, I prefer poisoning, mm-hmm. there would be people that would seek out, whoa, that guy died, I want some of that.
Wow.
It's mind-boggling and it's lunacy. Yeah. But I only bring that angle up, Jarvis, because for for, you know, a good amount of time, probably 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even 3, 4, 5 years ago, there were a lot more credible stories. And not that I personally don't believe these parents if they said it today, but a lot more credible stories were coming out a few years ago when nobody had ever literally ever heard of fentanyl, and they thought they were taking a Percocet and it killed them.
Right.
Now, today, sadly, you know, if it doesn't kill you, you use it and you start to build a tolerance up. There are people, man, that are using 20 to 40 fentanyl pills a day. And that's because they build, the body builds the tolerance up. Look, 20 or 30 pills a day, we, you and me would be dead with one pill. It only takes 2 milligrams of fentanyl. You can fit that on the tip of a pencil to be a potential fatal dose. So all of these things, you know, put together, I decided we've got to do something. You know, I don't do a lot of things well, but I know how to speak decently enough, but I also know how to put a documentary film together. And really I'm not trying to be on the, you know, king of the mountain or the savior here. I just told my team, look, we know how to do documentary films and this is right in front of us, whether we like it or not. And it's in every county in Colorado. Let's do it. And that's kind of why we did it.
I mean, and you and I were talking about this off air, but I, unfortunately it, so we know how bad of a problem it is. However, like I was saying to you off air is you only seem to hear about it, especially right now, is if there's a major, major drug bust, like on 25, you know, coming up from the border or something. If it's like a record breaking drug bust, then you hear about it. Or if it's something like what happened in Commerce City, where you had, I believe it was five people who thought they were doing cocaine. It was laced with fentanyl and all five of them died.
You know what
I
found out, not to interrupt you, but I found
out. Yeah, please.
That was pure fentanyl powder.
It was pure fentanyl.
They thought it was cocaine. And, you know, to this day, not to get sidetracked on the
conversation. No, please.
It's tragic. That's how the film opens.
Yeah.
With that story. But investigators, no arrests, but they figure that from the testing that was, they thought it was cocaine, it was pure fentanyl powder, and it killed them like that. As you know,
so
these people died where they stood.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I believe the detective, in the documentary said, he said it was just, kind of surreal. The, which I guess you would call crime scene, which is, they all just right where they were standing at. They all just, you know, that's where they were found at, right where they were standing when they almost, sounds like they almost died instantly. And you had mentioned, about the, I'm sorry, was it point, is it 0.2 grams or 0.02 grams?
It's 2 milligrams.
2 milligrams. Yeah.
2 milligrams, you know, and a lot of people have said, and, you know, I don't consider myself a fentanyl expert, but I know a decent amount. It's been my life for seemingly the past, you know, 2+ years. So I've done a lot of reading. I've done a lot of listening. And, you know, people are, I mean, there are several things since the film's been released. But one of the topics that comes up is, wait a minute, I thought fentanyl was a good thing. Fentanyl's been around for decades. And it is a wonderful drug and used, when used as intended, in a in a controlled hospital environment. And the one thing that you need to, if maybe you watching right now, you've never really heard of this, or you never paid attention to what fentanyl is. Again, I say 2 milligrams, you can fit that at the tip of a pencil. I mean, it's like some, a few granules of sugar or sand. But in a hospital setting, we're talking about micro doses, micrograms. That's why when you have a procedure, that's why they want to make sure to take your height and your weight, because they've got to balance this out. You're under, you know, the direction of an anesthesiologist. This stuff, precursor chemicals coming in from China, made in non-laboratory settings in Mexico. And all of this, I know we haven't gotten to it yet, but I'll cut to the chase. Why is all of this happening? It's greed. Mm-hmm. It's money. You can take $8,000 worth of fentanyl powder in Mexico, and you can make 500,000 pills with that amount. Some of those pills are still, even in Denver, selling for $1, $2 a pill at the, you know, not the wholesale level, but the retail. Mm-hmm. So you mean to tell me $8,000 turned into more than $500,000? Mm-hmm. And at the farther north you go, the more money. I mean, it's all about greed, and they don't care if they're killing their, that's another question I get a lot is, well, it doesn't make any sense. Why would they want, why would the cartels want to kill their customer? They don't care, because for every one person they kill, they're going to be peddling this stuff. In some cases, they're giving it away for free. Mm-hmm. They're going to addict 10, 20, 30 other people. So they don't care if one, two, five people die, because they're going to have the customer base to replace them.
I was asked that exact question the other day. We were, I was talking about your documentary with someone, and somebody said, well, you know, why do they want to kill their customers? Like, cause you want customers coming back. And I'm like, but you know, I basically what you had mentioned, it's like in some cases that, you know, especially, when you have an area that has a lot of addicts and things like that, if somebody dies from it, that's actually like almost, what would you call it? Like promotional in a way. Cause it's like, they have very strong stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Johnny died from it. Whoa. Johnny must've had some really good stuff. Right. I want some of what Johnny had.
Yeah. And when your body is so addicted to it. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And none of this, man, is logical. None of it's logical, but you absolutely can go back to the one reason why. Right. And that is money and greed. There are two primary cartels that DEA is targeting, that local law enforcement, sheriffs, police departments, state patrols across the country. It's the Jalisco cartel and the Sinaloa cartel. And if you don't think that they're operating in Colorado, Jarvis and I can't help you.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
I mean, if they're alive and well in Colorado and the other 49 states, and the sooner that the population starts to realize, as one of the incredible retired special agents in charge with DEA says in the film, I love the fact that you have Old Glory, Jarvis, behind you.
Always.
As he says, this is not a red or blue issue. Right. The fentanyl crisis is a red, white, and blue issue. Look, I have, you know, conservative leanings, let's just say, and I have for a long, long time. I don't know if that's a surprise to anyone, but we got to get tougher, man. We got to have Republicans step up and not just complain about what the Democrats are doing. Republicans need to step up and do more. And for the love of God, my opinion, the Democrats, majority of the Democrats under that Golden Dome where you used to work, they need to stop being not tough on crime. They got to stop thinking that these drug dealers are the victims here. I got a film that's almost 90 minutes long, and you will watch it and you will see who the victims are. And it's not the drug dealers.
Yeah. That, and so I wanted to bring up, cause we were talking about the 2 milligrams. So, something that you cover, in the film, and something that I have a lot of background with, because I was there at least for part of it, was in 2019, this bill was passed, that has to do with, limits, possession limits, right? And so this bill in 2019, and I don't have the bill number with me, but it made up to 4 grams of fentanyl a misdemeanor. Correct me if I'm wrong. 4 grams of fentanyl a misdemeanor.
I think it was House Bill 1326.
I believe that's right. Yeah, 1326. And so if you're doing the math on that, at 2 milligrams for a lethal dose, 4 grams, you say it in the film, it's over 1,500 people. A lethal dose for over 1,500 people. So you could be walking around with 3.99 grams in your pocket, and it would have been a misdemeanor.
A ticket.
And yeah, a ticket. And you could have killed almost 2,000 people with it, which is mind blowing. And then in 2022, there was an attempt to make it 1 to 4 grams of fentanyl felony. However, there was this provision, and I was there at the time, working. I wasn't the communications director at the time. I was an aide to one of the legislators, but I remember this specifically with Representative Lynch, there was this provision in the bill that basically said, if you have to know that it had fentanyl in it. And I remember there was this big fight behind the scenes, because we were going, well, you know, the DAs like Michael Allen, the fourth judicial district attorney who is featured in the film, you know, the whole thing was like, well, how do you, unless you have a text message from the dealer saying, yes, I have a bunch of fentanyl and it's awesome. Or unless they just admit it to the police, they could just say, well, I don't know what's in it. And then all of a sudden
plausible
now they,
deniability.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jarvis. Or how about this? I mean, yeah. In our scenario, this fictitious scenario, I'm sorry, Jarvis's family. I'm sorry, Mr. Police Officer. I didn't know that what I gave Jarvis was what it was. I mean,
right. Yeah.
There are many, many, many times over the course of, you know, putting this film together, having the interviews in the film, talking about it afterwards. And again, I'm thanking you so much for letting me promote it. The word that comes up a lot is lunacy.
Right.
It's lunacy. What is allowed right now in Colorado? And if you're a Democrat and you'd like to blame the Republicans, great. I hope you know more about fentanyl after this. If you're a Republican and you know, you really didn't have this as one of the hills that you would die on, well, shame on you. Right. You know, there are a select number. Look, the Mighty 19, right? The Mighty 19 Republicans downtown under the Golden Dome. If all 19 of them haven't been willing to die on the hill of this fentanyl battle, then whomever is not ready to die on that hill, they're part of the problem as well. You've mentioned Lynch several times. He's phenomenal in the film. He's taken the time. Senator Byron Pelton, the same way. They both, just this last legislative session, had a bill. It did not even get out of committee.
Yeah.
Why?
It was
because of politics.
Yeah. And I was there for that one. And so that was, I think, I want to say it was 2023. The one that's mentioned in the film. I'm not sure if they brought another one in 2024, but in 2023.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
Oh, they did.
Yeah,
okay.
We have a graphic
that's
in the film. I think toward the end of the film, it says, you know, during the completion of this film, they introduced another bill. I can't remember the number, but it died in committee.
Yeah. Well, so in 2023, and I think Rep Lynch talks about this, it was like 3 days before the end of session. It was a Friday night. And if
11 o'clock at night.
Right. And for listeners who listen to this podcast, you know, we talk a lot about the legislature and how things work there. But towards the end of session, it's hundreds of bills crammed together for like the last, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. And so this bill, this fentanyl bill that Rep. Lynch ran in 2023, it was on a Friday night. The hearing started at 11 p.m. and the last day of session was Monday. And so And they got killed, and you know, the bill got killed. And so, you know, I recall us making a big deal about it at the time. But
I recall making a big deal out of it when I had the radio show.
Right.
And you were able to provide me with an angry Rep Lynch who, well, I guess maybe even not angry at that point. You're probably just flabbergasted. I can't believe this has happened.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, and it's a lot of times, you know, kind of behind the scenes stuff is you kind of see the writing on the wall. And so it's like, wait, you know, this is a very important bill that should be taken very seriously. And you're kicking it down the road until almost at the very end of session. Because
let me add this. And I know, you know, this.
Yeah.
It's not just the fact that in 2023, that was 3 days before session ended and it was an 11 o'clock start on a Friday. Who cares about those politicians? I mean, they got themselves into this. That was strategic. You know, not to get too political here, but it was at 11 o'clock on a Friday, as mentioned. Who did that screw over? That screwed over parents that had waited all day. They lost their child and they had to testify. There was one of the women in the film devastated. I think she testified at like 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
That's inhumane.
Right.
That is not showing any compassion. Yeah. It's sweeping it under the rug, if that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and that was last year, man. It happened again this year.
And whoever chairs the committee, they control which order the bills go in. And so, you know, if you put a bunch of non-controversial bills at the beginning and then put the really important ones at the end that you plan on killing anyways, I mean, it's a messed up tactic, right? Because like you said, you may have a lot of kind of nuanced bills that you maybe only have two or three people there to testify on, and you stack all those bills at the beginning when when all of your witnesses are showing up for that big bill and you put that at the very end, you know that they're going to start peeling off because people have lives and they can't sit around at the Capitol till 2 o'clock in the morning, especially when they probably showed up at noon or something like that, you know? And so it's an ugly tactic that goes on at the legislature. All right, Stefan, I want to respect your time here. And thank you again for doing this. I want to leave with two questions for you. What were you most surprised about when you started making this film a couple years ago? And then what impacted you the most about this film?
I think what surprised me the most is what continues even today. And that is how many people are unaware of the fentanyl crisis in Colorado. It's one of those issues, I think. There's a stigma to it, even with the deaths of someone who took just half a pill. I think a lot of Colorado, and I certainly the country, but I can only speak for the people we talked with, and we traveled thousands of miles around the country and certainly probably a few thousand miles around Colorado to do this. I think the fact is, if it hasn't hit your family yet, it's easy to just go, sucks for you. I'm sorry. What's for dinner? Right. And I'm not saying this is going to hit every Colorado family because it won't, but it could.
Right.
And that is the takeaway surprising me the most is not enough people know about it. And I think that that is on folks like me. You're taking to the airwaves here. I know, you know, you have political aspirations. It's on you. It's on police officers. It's on first responders. It's on government officials. We need to make a bigger deal out of this because those deaths, it's not going to be reduced by 90% just because of one documentary film in Colorado. It's going to continue to get bad. And I think on the flip side, I was going to say on the positive side, but you know, there is no positive in this. You know, there is no positive other than we were able to complete a film. And I think what I take away most is the courage and the fortitude of these Colorado families that decided to talk with us. And guess what? There's on average, just in the city and county of Denver, 1 to 2 families per day just in Denver, according to the medical examiner, they're going through that anguish. They're going through that pain. 4 to 5 to 10, depending on the batches out there, they're dying every day in Colorado. We only got to talk to a small, you know, very small amount, but to hear them tell their story and to have them be brave enough to share their worst moments in hopes, again, of people like you watching and you and me, Jarvis, that we don't have to go through that. I think that's the biggest positive in a very negative situation. But I can't thank you enough for the time. I do encourage everyone, you know, just watch it. Even if you hate it, get educated on it. And my final thing I will say is, you know, the DEA says a lot, you know, one pill can kill, and that's part of its slogan. Well, you know what? You'd rather have a tough conversation, right? You'd rather have this conversation that may be tougher than the birds and the bees. It may be awkward. It may lead to anger and accusations and people thinking all kinds of stuff. You'd rather have that happen than plan a funeral.
Right.
Period.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it could be tough. I've dealt with this in my personal life once upon a time, having a family member addicted to drugs, and they can get very combative. And they don't like to be told that there's a problem and things like that. And they always feel like you're always accusing them. You know, and when you lose them, you know, and like I lost a family member, you just think to yourself, man, I should have tried harder. You know what I mean? Like, you know what? Yeah. They would have got mad and bucked up on me and pushed back, but I would rather have dealt with that then have to bury them. You know what I mean? So, Stefan, again, I appreciate it. Where can people find the documentary at?
You can find it at devastatedco.com, devastatedco for Colorado, devastatedco.com, or just simply type in devastated Colorado's fentanyl disaster on YouTube. And, you know, thank you to you know, to you for giving the attention. But, you know, we've heard literally from people around the world, you know, the UK, Germany, France, Australia, almost, I mean, every state in the union in our country, we've got fentanyl crises happening as we speak. So we've heard from people around the world, but around the country. And you know what? It's, if it can resonate that people know this F word and they know that it's worth the talk, possibly to save a life. I think, I don't know if I can say officially mission accomplished. I don't want to do that, but I can say, you know what? I can sleep at night knowing that me and my team, we, at least with this one, who knows if there's a sequel, we've done the best that we could do right now. And we did this for these families, and they did it to potentially protect yours.
Beautifully said, Stefan. I appreciate it again, sir. And for all of our listeners, thank you for listening, and go watch the documentary. There's no excuse. You need to watch it. All right, Stefan, we appreciate it so much, sir.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Engage the Rockies podcast, your go-to podcast for local and state issues concerning Colorado.